meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Our Father, who art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. In the hearts of all who believe in the Lord, there is a prayer for love truly conjugal, whether or not we are married. There is no direct reference to marriage in the Lord's Prayer, but with reflection, we can see how conjugal love is implied in every phrase. As the Lord taught us to pray generally, so he has also taught us to pray for true love in marriage. We begin with Our Father. In our lesson, we read, true conjugal love, in its first essence, is love to the Lord, from the Lord. Therefore, it is also innocence. Innocence is loving the Lord as one's father, by doing his commandments and wishing to be led by him and not by oneself, thus like an infant. Father, spiritually, means the Lord's love for us. In a happy marriage, more than anywhere else, we are aware of the Lord's love and blessings upon us. And in the closeness of marriage, we also have the greatest need to do the Lord's commandments, to preserve peace and to grow together in heart and mind. As the Lord leads married couples over the years, more and more they can look back and see his leading. They pray that they may not lead themselves, but that our Father may lead them. Who art in the heavens reminds us that the Lord is leading us to an eternal oneness. We have heaven in ourselves, or we are in heaven, so far as we are in love truly conjugal. More than in any other love, this love is heavenly, spiritual, holy, pure, and clean. Only our Father in heaven can lift us above worldly obsessions to look together to a life in heaven with him. We pray for an eternal oneness. So too we pray that those who are not married in this life will also be married in the spiritual world and see how our Father has been preparing them for their marriage all along. Hallowed be thy name comes next. The Lord's name stands for everything by which we know him. His name, therefore, is his word. We come to know the Lord in his word and in obeying his word. Being able to really know the Lord is what makes the new church the crown of all the churches, his bride and wife. Knowing and loving the Lord is also central to a true marriage. The better we know him, the more we can follow him and come to love him. So we read, after his second coming, the Lord will revive conjugal love, such as it was among ancient peoples. For conjugal love comes only from the Lord, and it is found in people who are made spiritual by him through his word. In saying, hallowed be thy name, we are praying that the word may be at the center of our homes, our thinking, and our choices. The more the word is at the center of our lives, the more we will be blessed with conjugal love. Thy kingdom come follows because the Lord's kingdom comes wherever people are willing to govern themselves by the laws of his word. We cannot possibly have love truly conjugal without the Lord. But if we follow the Lord, we will certainly have it more and more. We may not be married in this life, or we may have a difficult marriage in this world, but to the extent that we look to the Lord, love the truths of the church, and do the good things it teaches, we can be confident that the Lord will provide us a marriage after death that will grow eternally happier. We read, conjugal love and religion walk together in step. Every little step and stride taken from religion or toward religion is also a step or stride taken from or toward the conjugal love that is special and proper to a Christian. Thy kingdom come is a prayer for a good marriage for ourselves, for our children, for our friends, and for the Lord's church throughout the earth. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so upon the earth. This brings our attention down from heaven, from love to the Lord and the ideal of innocence, through the understanding of His word, to the actual doing of His will. One reason conjugal love has the greatest potential happiness is that by it, heaven comes down to earth in the birth of little children who can become angels. We do the Lord's will and cooperate in His purposes, most of all in having children and preparing them for heaven. A husband and wife are drawn together in this work more than in any other way, when each sees it as the Lord's calling and willingly works alongside his or her partner with mutual support. All of us, whether we have children or not, participate in this use by helping to provide a safe, healthy, supportive environment for children to be born and to grow up. The heavenly doctrine also speaks of married partners bringing forth spiritual offspring, even when we are past the age of raising children. Spiritual offspring are new states of love to the Lord and love toward the neighbor, and new sights of truth, which lead to a better performance of one's uses each day. All joys and all delights from first to last are gathered into conjugal love when married partners look to the Lord together. Inmostly in their souls, they have innocence and peace. In their minds is tranquility. In their breasts is inmost friendship. In their hearts is complete trust. A mutual desire of mind and heart to do every good thing for the other comes down into the body as a result. Their love is holy, pure, and clean, even on the physical level, because it flows down from a love for the Lord and for doing His word. It is the embodiment of the words, as in heaven, so upon the earth. Married partners know and can sometimes feel that their love is not theirs, but is a daily and perpetual gift from the Lord. This is one of the main ideas involved with the prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Every instant to eternity, the Lord feeds our hearts and minds. He makes His sun to shine with heavenly warmth, blessing our good states and guiding us through our bad states to new wisdom. If we have a desire and striving for true conjugal love in our will, the Lord is cleansing and purifying our love each day to eternity. But we must acknowledge our need to be cleansed, as in the words, "Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors." Where else than in the intimacy of a marriage do we more need to be forgiven and to be willing to forgive? To whom else on earth do we have greater debts than our married partner? We can see a series in the Lord's Prayer. From the love expressed in the words, "Our Father in heaven," the Lord leads us to see His laws and His will, and He inspires us to act in our lives on earth as in heaven as best we can. We see we need His help. We pray for our daily bread, for love, for strength to keep our vows. The more we try to do His will, the more we become aware of our weaknesses and shortcomings. A new parent might say, "I never knew I had a temper until I had children." Couples have to accommodate to each other's habits. They have to share limited resources of time, money, and energy. The hells take advantage of these situations to stir up bitterness as much as possible. But these difficulties are opportunities to make real choices and to grow spiritually, individually and together. They are like the tires, bringing all the horsepower and complex machinery of the transmission and suspension down into forward progress. They are like growing tips of the branches of the tree. Through life's challenges, the Lord leads us upward toward heaven. Progress begins with our acknowledgement that we need His forgiveness and that our willingness to forgive others, especially our married partner. The way forward leads through temptations because the spiritual and rational part of us has to take charge of the worldly, sensual part, and the worldly part doesn't yield without a struggle. The doctrine teaches that in courtship and in the early days of marriage, almost everyone enjoys a feeling of love truly conjugal. But all too often, the early feelings of love pass away till people do not know what married love is, or scarcely that there can be any such thing. The reason is that we tend to love only fleshly and worldly aspects of life, which soon get old and tiresome. But we read, it is different in the case of people who are spiritual, that is, who look to the Lord. With them, the first state of marriage is an introduction to continuing states of happiness, which advance as the spiritual rationality of the mind, and consequently the natural sensuality of the body in one partner, join and unite with the same qualities in the other. That is, in their minds, they look to the Lord and eternal life together, and from that point of view, they set their priorities and work on their life together. But, the passage says, people like this are rare. Why? Because truths of religion on which to base a solid relationship with the Lord are rare today. But for those who have the word of the Lord's second coming, there is no reason why the Lord cannot lead us through temptations to deliver us from our evils. The pathway is straightforward. We read, so far as anyone shuns all kinds of adultery as sins, so far he loves chastity or the cleanness of marriage. All our lives we have opportunities to practice acting as in heaven, so upon the earth. The more we practice, the more we do battle to correct our weaknesses, the more clearly we see that the kingdom and the power and the glory forever are the Lord's. We see that we cannot build a good marriage by ourselves, neither can we do a just and faithful job of our work by ourselves. But miraculously, the Lord makes wonderful things happen in our lives. The heavenly doctrine outlines the good that results from chastity in marriage, or from looking to the Lord and shunning unclean things as sins against Him. Thy kingdom means spiritual and heavenly loves, wisdom, innocence, and peace. Power is protection against the hells. Glory is all different kinds and levels of joy and happiness forever. In addition to these benefits to the married partners themselves, a good marriage also benefits their descendants and the heavenly societies. With their posterity, the selfish hereditary nature is broken down and softened. Both by heredity and environment, the parents pass on a love and a wisdom from the Lord about marriage. Meanwhile, the delights of conjugal partners on earth are shared with angels. They support the heavens by the power against the hells present in a true marriage, and by their offspring who become angels, the heavens grow. All of these are the Lord's works in us and through us, when we look to Him as our Father in our marriage. So the prayer finishes, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May each of us, in whatever state of life we are, keep on loving the ideal of marriage, desiring it for ourselves, and asking the Lord for a legitimate and lovely companionship with one, while we hold our noses against wandering lusts. Then the Lord's Prayer for marriage in His kingdom and for us in particular will be fulfilled. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.